Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Speaking of politics, Aaron Schock joins us, the former congressman from Peoria, Illinois. Aaron, this is John. You're on WGN in Chicago. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon, John. I'm doing well. Yourself?
Really good. Hey, politics is the game. You want to comment on Bill Shine's exit from the administration and the White House?
I'm sorry?
Do you have any comment on Bill Shine, the former Fox News executive, leaving the White House?
No.
See, now I
don't. I've enjoyed being a spectator the last 4 years.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, I was wondering where your head was about those things when you're watching, especially the last two as a rising star in the Republican Party in the U.S. Congress. If there were times where you really wished you were in the game, or were you just as glad not to be in the game the last couple of years?
Well, you know, from the age of 19 to the age of 33, I served consecutively in elected office. So it's been a joy to do that, but it's also grueling at times. Your life's not your own. And in my congressional district, I had 205 towns, and I spent most of my time traveling the district as well as the country for candidates. And so the last 4 years, as you know, I've spent fighting a overzealous prosecutor against trumped-up charges, and now that it's over and it's been 24 hours, you know, I'm evaluating my options for the future and focusing on the positive aspects of what I've learned over the last 4 years as opposed to some of the ugliness that I've endured.
Famously, Peoria, Illinois' Aaron Schock at the age of 19 was elected to the second largest school board in the state of Illinois. He was elected to the state legislature at what age, Aaron?
23.
And to the U.S. Congress at what age?
27.
Were you the youngest member of the Congress then at that time?
I was.
Yeah. And served three full terms, is that right?
Yeah, three full terms and then was elected to my fourth term before resigning.
You resigned because of a 24-count indictment against you on federal charges of all sorts of things and maybe some of the coverage that was attendant to that. I remember at the time when you resigned in your fourth term, you said that you can't continue to do the work for the people and it's best you step aside. You never said, I'm guilty of these charges. You said it was too much of a distraction, right?
Right. I felt at the time that, everybody always says it's about the people and too often it becomes about them. And I know it sounds maybe altruistic to some people, but I really thought I was doing what was in the best interest of my district. And I knew that much of the press coverage was inaccurate and the accusations were not true. But I also felt that I could best defend myself and let the smoke clear away from the public spotlight. And I believed ultimately that the Justice Department would do the right thing and prosecutors who cared about truth and facts would ultimately prevail. And that was 4 years ago. I never thought it would take this long. And you know, I ultimately never thought that I would be charged with the crime because I didn't think I committed one.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm thankful that ultimately, you know, the prosecutors in Northern Illinois who, you know, aren't shrinking violets, by the way, these are the same team of people that prosecuted George Ryan and Rob Blagojevich, took at the look at the facts in my case and said, there's no there there. And so when they reached out and said, look, we're prepared to drop the entire 24-count indictment against you. However, we think that your campaign committee has run afoul of some of the FEC reporting requirements. And so, you know, we want your campaign to own up to some of its reporting obligations that it failed to do. And I said, look, I've never said we were perfect. And, you know, I have no problem recognizing the mistakes that we did make. But as for any crimes or felonies that were alleged, there was just no evidence of it, and they recognized that, and I'm grateful for it.
Your stepping down will come 4 years to the day in just a couple of weeks on March 31st. So it's really been an ordeal, and I was reading in, I think, the Daily Beast or maybe Politico, but I think it was Daily Beast, who said you've spent countless millions of dollars defending yourself over the last 4 years. What's the economic toll been on you? How much money has this defense cost you?
Well, there's, you know, the out-of-pocket dollars, which is north of $4 million that I've spent defending myself. And then there's the, you know, economic prison that you sit in for 4 years when you're charged. Because let me just give you an example. You know, there's a lot of people that won't do business with you when you're under a felony count indictment. I have a letter that I have framed from Chase Bank with a credit card that I had for over 10 years, and they sent me a letter that said, we're canceling your credit card because we believe doing business with you is a potential reputational damage to our company. And I thought, you got to be kidding me. I've never even been convicted of anything. But that's how not only individuals but companies react in America today, and it's a sad state because there's not the presumption of innocence. So when you say, what did this cost you? Well, in addition to your reputational damage, it becomes very difficult to not only pay your defense, but also to earn a living to put food on the table and actually survive while you're holding your breath to clear your chart.
I understand that. The $4 million, did that come from you or did that come from your campaign fund?
It was a combination. I have spent nearly every dollar that I have to my name personally, in addition to exhausting all of the campaign funds, which at the time were about $3 million, and that was for myself as well as all of my staff, who I tried to cover their attorney fees as well because, you know, I felt terrible that they were getting sucked into this and unjustifiably, and many of those young people, you know, don't have a way to defend themselves.
Yeah, so, right.
So that's the cost to me, and then, you know, there's... this Timothy Bass subpoenaed, and those people all had to get attorneys and spend, you know, gobs of money for no justifiable reason either.
None of us have been able to determine exactly why, though, this thing suddenly went off the rails. Suddenly, maybe not to you. You've been dealing with it for 4 years, but a lot of us didn't see it coming, and the Northern District hasn't been that clear about why exactly the case collapsed, and they've agreed to, after having indicted you, not further the case. That just doesn't happen, especially in something this high profile. And so I guess you get to stand there and say, well, that's because there was no there there. But I just wanted to run through some of the specific allegations that lingered or still do and let you address them. They said you remade...
You know, John, let me just say something real quick. Why should I? If the very agency that made these allegations, okay, the very prosecutor who put the document together that you're reading has been proven by a judge to have lied to the court. Why does anyone in the press want to point to the document that he wrote? Do you really think that if the man would lie to a judge that he's being honest in that document? Furthermore, if you think that of the 24 felonies, that half of them that I committed, or five of them that I committed, or three of them that I committed, that the Northern District of Illinois wouldn't prosecute me for them, you're not giving them the credit that they are as prosecutors. So I don't think it's a stretch for me to just stand there and say what is very obvious, which is there wasn't evidence of crimes. There wasn't crimes committed. And so
but I think there was.
I'm not going to go through and...
Let me ask it, Congressman.
Excuse me?
If I can ask it this way,
this
Congressman.
This is Steve Bertrand in our newsroom.
Hello. What did Congressman Jesse Jackson do that you didn't do?
Well, first of all, I don't appreciate the comparison because I don't know the facts of his case. I only know the facts of my case. And what is important is our facts and evidence in a case, okay? Simply saying, oh, well, you know, there was money that was mistakenly appropriated here or there, I don't know all the facts of his case. But I know the facts of my case, and I know that the facts of my case speak to no crimes being committed. And if you're trying to say that, well, gee, why would somebody pay back, you know, $68,000 if it wasn't theft or whatever you're trying to jump to here, look, we had $20 million of transactions that flowed through three campaign committees, a government account, and my own personal account. And I guarantee you, whether you pick a corporation or a nonprofit or a government agency or a campaign account, if you audit $20 million of transactions, you're going to find some debit and credits out of place. But I also think you're smart enough to know that as busy as a congressman is and as the responsibilities of what a congressman is, most people who are congressmen out in Washington, D.C., aren't sitting in the back function of their office filling out vouchers and dotting their I's and crossing their T's.
I understand.
That's not to say, by the way, that I'm not responsible for what happens in my office. And that's not to say that I'm not saying we could have done a better job. I've said it from the beginning that we could have, we should have, and I take full responsibility for any mistakes that occur.
Okay, Mr.
And
Shaw,
I want to make recompense for it.
I hear you. We really do. But that's a long answer to a question I don't think my colleague got a chance to finish, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I didn't mean to be insulting, Congressman. I truly didn't. But, you know, we have a Chicago congressman who did serve time for misusing campaign money, and you were accused of the same thing. And I didn't mean it as an insult. I'm just wondering what the difference in the two cases were. And I think you've answered it by saying,
I get that. But here's the question I have, Aaron. And listen, I think that your loss, both personally and the state's loss, are significant because you were a rising star. And you're right. There is an opportunity there that we didn't realize. Now, maybe you'll have a second, you know, coming in Illinois or in some political capacity, and people will be able to use your energy and insight because you were and maybe are still a valuable resource. But what strikes me is you are either innocent, like you said, there's no there, or you're just very lucky. That is, there were a whole bunch of things that conspired against the prosecution, their own bumbling, a couple of judges, one recusing himself, another one being removed from the case being moved from one jurisdiction to another, just a whole bunch of things that drag this out. And I think finally they just said, oh, heck, let's stop. And how lucky for you that happened. Or you're not guilty at all, and that was the conclusion that they're telling us they came to. I don't know which it is. I don't know if, in fact, the fact that they don't pursue this case means you're innocent, or maybe it's just they don't want to waste any more time and money on it. I don't know what your reaction to that is.
Well, I've given my reaction. My reaction is what they have said publicly and what I've said publicly, which is, there were no crimes committed. The evidence didn't exist. And, you know, when you get it in front of people who don't have a political agenda.
Okay. But then,
the people that, and by the way, why would they stop now when you have a judge who's had no problem?
I don't know.
When you have a prosecution, when you have a prosecution team who has no blemishes on them, why would they stop now? They have every reason to move forward with prosecution. Now, you're right. If after the prosecutor was caught lying, they had dismissed it, you might be able to say that. After the second prosecutor was found violating my constitutional rights, if they had dismissed it then, you might be able to say that. But the reason they moved it all the way up to Chicago was of the Justice Department's commitment, all right, to the rule of law and to prosecuting bad people who've done bad things.
But is this true, Aaron? Is this true? Did you turn in receipts for 150,000 miles on a vehicle that hadn't gone that far at all, let alone by yourself? I mean, I'm just looking at the things that they said you did.
You're looking at the indictment, which has been dismissed in its entirety.
Well, is that true?
And which there's not evidence to support.
No, it is not true.
Okay.
No, well, that's helpful to know. Here's another one. Did you resell?
Okay.
Were you reselling World Series and Super Bowl tickets?
Let me just look. We're not going to relitigate the whole thing, all right? But what my point is in this is there were statements that I did make in court that were admissions of mistakes on my part, okay? So, for example, on mileage, since you bring that up, and that's the one that the press likes to repeat over and over, there were mistakes made in the estimations of my mileage, okay? But let me just give you a little few factoids for you to consider. In the 6 years that I serve in the United States Congress, I've never even seen a mileage reimbursement form, okay? Again, that's not to say that I don't have a responsibility to oversee it, but most members of Congress don't fill that stuff out. All right. When my staff testified about what they did and what they didn't do, they all said, look, we did our best to estimate his mileage based on the travel schedule that he was doing in his district. All right. When the finance office for the House said, hey, we take estimates not only from Mr. Schock, but from all these congressmen. The reason that you're reading this about one car is because the prosecutor at the time glommed onto an article that Politico wrote where they made the claim that I only had one car. Right. And here were the total numbers driven, and here was the one odometer, right? It turns out I had lots of cars that I drove. And the reason the government can't prosecute me on mileage is because they don't know how many miles I drove.
Okay.
But if you want to play the odometer game, I had a vehicle, my last vehicle that I bought was 0 miles, had 17,000 miles on it when I left office in 6 months. That's a roughly 30,000 miles a year you're driving. The notion that I only drove 80,000 miles, which is what the article had accused me of, 80,000 miles over 5 years is laughable in a district my size. So, again, I'm not going to get into to undressing this whole thing on the radio, but I would say there's more
fact to all of these. Fair enough. Do you wish, this is my last question, because it is along these lines, but it's not that per se. Do you almost wish you hadn't painted the office in the scheme of Downton Abbey's Red Room, because that got so much attention? I think it sort of became the funnel through which a lot of this goes. And if that hadn't happened, maybe it wouldn't have been such an interesting story. Do you know what I mean?
I do. And you know what's really interesting, John? I've never seen the show Downton Abbey. There's no truth to that. There's
Damn
no
you,
truth
Downton
to that headline
Abbey.
In the Washington Post.
Congressman, you've had so much downtime. So, you could have caught up on it.
It's a good show.
I haven't. I don't mean to be facetious, but every news outlet in the last 4 years has referred to me as Downton Abbey congressman.
Yeah, yeah.
And I scratched my head because the decorator from Jacksonville, Illinois, has done all these interviews saying she'd never talked about Downton Abbey. She had nothing to do with, it being, she said that she just picked red because she thought it was a bold color for the Capitol. Look, do I wish I could do that over again? Sure, absolutely. But was there a crime there? No. Was that maybe bad political judgment? Sure. I mean, but by the way, if you're going to start prosecuting congressmen for bad political judgment, line them up.
All right, we're out of time.
Because there's people do that all the time.
We're out of time. Listen, you're on your way back to California, I suppose. If you come through Chicago, please make a point to come through our studio. We wish you nothing but the best, and I very much appreciate your answering our questions.
Sure. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Take care.
Have a good one.
Thanks, Congressman.
You.